The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to the new Mellow Poke the Hornet's Nest.
That's news to me.
I'm Nick Gardner. I've got my co-host Doug Jenke here.
We'd like to thank our sponsors. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Doug. There we go. We thanked them. That was quick.
We don't have to waste a lot of time thanking
them. And we're our own people. We're not beholden to corporate greed and direction. We can say whatever we want, Nick. So we've decided to go mellow. This is a newsflash, folks. I didn't know this.
So, anyway, I had my 55-year class reunion this last weekend. It was wonderful. About 75 people showed up, people I hadn't seen in 20, 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And
Were Bonnie and Fred there?
No, but they're going to come to the next one. And instead of listing all the people that died, they're going to put they're going to shorten a list and just mention the survivors.
It's not a bad idea.
We had we've got a new listener in Germany. Terry Fairhurst. And, in fact, he might call in and give us an update. I'm going to be in contact with him. And
okay.
Let us know what's going on in Germany.
A lot is going on in Germany.
I know. And I've come to the conclusion that we can't really trust our news media anymore.
No. No. There's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, we'll talk about it later. But with NATO and Germany and France, there's a lot of stuff going on over there that's not making our news.
And then Lynette Perkins from Seattle, she came down. I hadn't seen her in a long, long, long time, and I believe she's going to be a new listener now.
Wow. Look at you. You're like tripling our ranks right overnight.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Instead of seven, we're nine, huh? Nine listeners?
But we have hit all corners of the world. I will say that, you know.
You know, I had a friend of mine call me, Mike Natina, and he wanted to make a suggestion to everybody to put up your flag for the 4th of July and leave it up to the election, until the election.
Huh?
And just to remind people that, you know, this is the United States. We're voting. This is my thoughts. We're voting for the direction of our country.
Yeah. You know, it's funny is you hear in every election the, this is the most important election of our time. I can assure you this election right now will, and I'm not a Debbie Downer, but I was trying to explain this to Carl when I was on his show Thursday, that it is my opinion. I've learned to say that with you, Nick. It is my opinion that it doesn't matter who wins this election. It's going to be chaos. There's going to be chaos.
Well, on top of that, Carl's trying to talk you out of supporting Donald Trump. Couldn't they find somebody else that doesn't have felony convictions, somebody that isn't so controversial? No, we can't find anybody that's going to be better than Trump, in my opinion. We wouldn't find somebody that's half as good as Trump.
Well, I mean, he started off the show asking that question, and I immediately hammered it down, and I went on to explain that exact thing is, you know, for all of his faults, and I've got my faults that I do with him. I mean, I'm not a Trumpian by nature because, you know, he spent a life drug sailor. He got us locked down. He got us the Operation Warp Speed, just all the jabs. So for all of his good, there are some negatives that stand out, and then he surrounded himself with pariahs. But I got to give the man credit. At his age, he's got an unlimited wealth of energy, and his blood, he must get transfusions every day with the slings and arrows that he takes. And I just can't think of any other human on the planet that would sell out a stadium of 100,000 people like that guy does. Just him doing an event has lines for miles to get into it. And I just can't see anybody else that will do it. And if he sticks to his policies, I really believe he can be a very good, if not great, president. If he would just shut up.
Well, I don't know. I like him speaking up. But, you know, I ran across this article. The mainstream press has gotten a new talking point from its Democrat masters. Mm-hmm. And they go on about how bad Trump was. But here's some defense for Trump. From the day after his election, Trump's presidential tenure was nonstop scandal.
Yep.
Even in the early days of the transition, there were substantial and well-founded charges of corruption, nepotism, and collusion with foreign adversaries. That's completely false. The author didn't describe the nepotism. Was it when the unpaid son-in-law Jared Kushner got America in the Abraham Peace Accords? Trump was the only one that ever had a chance of bringing peace to the Middle East.
Yeah.
He signed deals with what? Egypt? Sadat?
Egypt, Jordan. He brought, I think, five Muslim countries to the table that were on the verge of signing with Israel, which was unheard of, including some nation states in Africa. So he brought a lot of stuff to the table that no other president, every other president has fomented strife, and he didn't want any, he didn't want war in the Middle East.
You know, they signed some deals too.
I know.
It only took Biden about 5 hours to blow that up.
Yep.
Inflation didn't start to rise during Trump's last year. It stayed well under 2%. It skyrocketed when Biden sought to destroy the energy company, when he opened the border, and when he continued to spend money to buy votes after the economy had recovered. And they're trying to say that Trump brought on the inflation. That's a bunch of BS.
Well, you know, the great thing about liberals is they blame us conservatives for everything that they're doing. And in almost every 100% time, it's not true. And they're trying to mask the crap that they are flicking.
Well, you know, Obama and Biden's policies gave us the slowest economic recovery in 70 years.
Oh, yeah.
Trump had us out of the hole after COVID in no time.
Well, I mean, you know, between Obama, Trump, and Biden, we've added $20 trillion to our debt, and we're going up at $1 trillion every 100 days, I believe. So Trump is not necessarily completely innocent, but he did pick up an economy that was stalling under Obama because Obama had destroyed the economy.
And then Fauci destroyed it after Trump recovered it.
Well, yeah. Don't get me going on Fauci and his testimony this week. That man should have every personal piece of wealth, including all of his own pictures in his own house, taken from him. His family should be stripped of all its wealth. The man should probably be tried for treason and the punishment according to how many people he killed for a mass murderer. And yet he's there in Congress talking about, oh, well, you know, and nobody does anything. The rhinos don't do anything, and the Democrats don't do anything. So I don't have a lot of faith in our Congress, to be honest with you.
Why even have congressional hearings when there's no teeth to them?
Well, that's it. Well, no, that's not true. I mean, who was it? One of Trump's folks got caught and had to do, 40 or 60 days in the hukou because of contempt of Congress or something like that.
Steve Bannon. He's going to have to do 4 months, and they're going to let him out, I think, 7 days before the election. The reason they did that is because Steve Bannon's the one that won the election for Donald Trump.
Yep.
He was 16 points down before Steve Bannon took over.
Oh, I know.
And that's why they've locked him up.
Yep.
You know, Biden claims that he inherited a disaster and his policy turned everything around. Trump was making 1.5 million new jobs in his last 8 months of his administration.
Well, you know what's funny is I don't give that a lot of value only because with COVID hitting in March of 20, everybody got laid off and unemployment shot up to, I don't know, some ridiculous 22 or 24%. And then once some of the hype went over, people started getting hired back. And much like Biden claims, you know, 15 million jobs, they're not jobs. They were just people getting rehired back into the jobs they had when COVID hit. And same thing with Donald Trump is a lot of the people that got laid off when he locked us down. And I'm not going to mince words. Donald Trump locked us down. He got us Operation Warp Speed. But his policies that he did, I think, would be impossible to argue they didn't improve our country. They improved our country. They made it safer. We had a secure border. And so, you know, when you say he added 1.5 million jobs, I say, well, it was a lot of the COVID stuff, people coming back to work. And, you know, politicians claim credit for the mistakes they do they clean it up.
He brought big corporations back.
Yes,
that's
true.
He opened up the oil industry.
Yep.
He filled up the strategic reserves 95%.
Yep.
What's Biden got him down to? 17-day supply if we run out.
Biden has gotten us down to under, I think we're at 40% of capacity now of what it is. And if we had one shock, we'd be out of oil in no time.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Biden.
We're going to fight a war with electric tanks.
Yes. And extension cords.
Oh, boy. You know, I did see one bright thing in the news, and I believe it was just yesterday. Louisiana passed a law that they can physically castrate pedophiles.
I've always wondered why we don't do that anyways. When somebody has raped a woman, let's just call it rape a woman because it happens more than it does a man, and, you know, is it a date gone wrong, whatever, but a second offense should be automatic, cut the personal
off. No, this is pedophiles, kids under
12. No, I'm saying that's going to pedophiles too. Now, I'm just saying why don't they do that because these people have shown they repeat. Take that drive from them. Get rid of that part. So I'm just my opinion.
Well, the thing is, Louisiana has 2,224 pedophiles locked up right now. Crimes against children under 12.
Yep.
So on top of that, Florida passed a law that they can put them to sleep, the death penalty for pedophiles.
Oh.
And, in fact, they did prosecute one guy, and this is a recent law, and he did get the death penalty. And they negotiated, and they gave him life in prison without parole. Yeah. That works for me real well.
Well, yeah, as long as they don't get back in and can never offend another kid. And, you know, one of the things that you hear as you get older about, you know, you hear stuff about people in prison is in prison pedophiles don't do well. So a lifetime in prison is a sentence on its own.
Who was that guy, Nasser, that molested all the gymnasts?
Oh, the U.S. Gymnast team. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, Nasser is his name.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that he's a sex performer in prison now. The Mexican mafia is in there, and he's having to pay him for protection and satisfy their sexual needs.
I had not read that, but that starts off our Sunday morning show. So, Nick, we've got local election. We've got state elections going on. I am helping somebody, a candidate. I don't want to get anything in. I've invited this person in to come speak, but gave this candidate some advice to go very Javier Milei-like instead of going Dolly-like. The Dolly's nice people, great people. I think they really tried their best. But the one thing that Brian always stood out is he reached across the aisle. He reached across the aisle. He tried to bring the other side. At the end of the day, I would say that Mr. Dolly was objectively a failure only because they never came back our direction. They never came to him. He might claim that I brought him up here and they understood farming. No, they didn't. I was telling this person that don't go into a deal with, well, it's the best deal we could get. If it's a bad deal, just say no. Don't go for the best deal we could get. Go for the deal that's conservative. Go for the deal that's common sense. Go for the deal that is going to, and if we don't get it,
There was no deal that was conservative or common sense or a compromise. You've got,
no.
What, 85 Democrats against 7 Republicans? There's no deal there.
Well,
it's
no,
their way or the highway. My numbers were wrong, but it's like 2/3, 3/4 Democrats, liberals. Against two conservatives, and there was no deal. There was no compromise.
No.
They tried to negotiate. There's no negotiations.
No.
Dolly didn't have a chance, and whoever takes his place doesn't have a chance.
Well, I think the person that takes his place needs to go in with a Donald Trumpian attitude that I'm not going to sit there and make bad deals so I can claim that I was bipartisan. It doesn't come the other direction. They don't come to us. We have to go to them. And like I was explaining to this person, that Javier Milei just beat out 75 years of idiot, liberal, socialist people. I mean, the entire establishment was idiot, liberal, social people down in Argentina. He ran with the platform of a chainsaw. He was going to cut the government. He was not going to work with the Peronistas.
But he's the final vote. Well, whoever goes down there, and I know who you're talking about, it's Hardwick. She's not going to have any pull down there.
Well, I explained to her. I said, you're going into a shark tank, so don't drip blood. Just go down there and do the Javier Millay.
Don't drip blood. I think she ought to take Saran Saran with her on a 3-day furlough to the state capitol with an Uzi and maybe a dump truck full of ammunition. That's how we'll get something done.
Well, you know, it's just we're in a supermajority state, and it's going off the rails. And like I explained to her, just go in and be Javier Milei. Like, don't make bad deals to make a deal. Don't make a deal. If they're going to make the deal without you anyway. So at least stand your ground on common sense conservative values.
And don't start a newspaper that'll publish it.
Well, and then start holding pressers. And then when you're on the Senate floor, call a spade a spade. Don't sit there and go, oh, my colleagues. Sit there and call them what they are. They're idiot liberals. And be willing to be the pariah for your one term, because maybe that's all you'll get. But, you know, Javier Milei beat 75 years of stupidity liberal ideas by a 75% margin. He had a 75-25 victory.
But he's the king.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, he was predicted not to win. He had, quote unquote, alienated the youth. He alienated everybody. And his popularity is skyrocketing because he's not playing the game. He's not reaching across the aisle. He's saying, this is what we're going to do. We're going to cut the government. We're going to give people back their rights. We're going to respect property rights. We're going to stop having all these government agencies. And the dude has turned Argentina around. In 5 months, he went from a 240% inflation rate. He's got it down to like 24% it's 6 months now. In 6 months, he has dropped the inflation rate almost 200%.
What I heard is they're planning on assassinating him and sending Joe Biden down there to straighten the country out.
I think Argentinians alone would stop him at the border. But, I mean, that's the kind of thing, is that's where we're at. And then the guy that I really like in Canada, I mean, since we're kind of free-flowing today, is Pierre Poilievre, is a Canadian. And if you guys really want a great, absolute great, please do this at the end of the show. Go into YouTube and put Canadian politician eating apple. Just that's it. Canadian politician eating apple. This guy he's going to be the next, if they don't steal the election or something happens to him, he is going to be the next PM for Prime Minister for Canada. The dude is rock star. Between him and Milei, those two guys, in my opinion, are the hope for Western society. Just those two.
Now, you hinted if they don't steal the election. How could they possibly steal the election when they've got machines counting the votes? There's no human error there.
Well, Nick, I got to be honest with you. You brought it to our attention on our last show that you apparently are alive 3 or 4 times because you're getting multiple ballots yourself.
That's right.
Which of all the people that send multiple ballots to, a radio guy who rails against the election system, make sure you take him off the list for the second one. So, no, you know, we're kind of free-flowing today, but this election coming up, I don't think it's going to change a lot, at least in the state, because the supermajority is going to remain, and they're going to drive us off the cliff. They're just going to do it.
They're going to drive us off the cliff. They had a $100 billion surplus last year, and now we've got a $27 billion deficit.
No, I think actually the deficit, as they admit to, is somewhere around $68 billion, but then you throw in unfunded liabilities, and it goes to hundreds of billions of dollars.
I was reading Dave Benda in the Record Searchlight. He probably went down from 68 to 27 billion.
Yeah, to make it seem a little better.
He probably went to math class with Charlie Can't Count.
He probably did the liberal equivalent of Common Core, the new math. And I was pretty good at math, and I couldn't help my kids, so I don't understand it. But, yeah, this election, folks, you're going to have to get out and vote. And we've got local stuff going on. We've got the state going on, and, of course, the president. And these folks are going to do everything they can to steal this election. And I'm hoping whoever they get in at the register's office, now that the communist darling, Kathy, is gone, the George Soros-loving Kathy darling is gone, hopefully whoever they get can do two things. Clear the voter rolls and count honestly. I don't care if they're guy, girl, gay, straight, black, white. Clearing the rolls, count honestly. That's all they got to do. It's not a very difficult job. So that's what our election thing is there. So, Nick, you're looking at me kind of with consternation. Did I cross the line?
Oh, no.
Good. No, I feel better. I'm happy again.
You know, how much have we spent on that rail to nowhere? What is it, Bakersfield to Gilroy or something like that?
Oh, the high-speed rail.
It's projected to cost over $100 billion when we okayed it. The voters in their wisdom.
Their stupidity.
They thought it was only going to cost $9 billion. So part of it, I wonder if he's going to cut any funding to that.
Well, I mean, they really need to just stop that thing. It's never going to pencil out, ever, in a lifetime, ever. It's got a stretch that they're trying to do in the Central Valley. And the last time I looked, illegal immigrants, which is a large capacity of the Central Valley, are not going to jump on a high-speed line to go from Madera to Fresno at ticket prices that would have to be something like $27,000 per ticket at capacity for years to even fund back what they spent on that thing.
And they could take that money they save on the high-speed rail and take out some dams, because we don't need hydroelectric power anymore. We've got plenty of green power.
We wrong. You know what they could do is take that dang money and go out and do two desalination plants out on the West Coast, out on the ocean, pump the water up into, let's say, Sites Reservoir and other places. We would have no water problems in the future either. That could be done for a couple $1 billion. It's not a big project overall when you look at what the high-speed rail is going to cost and go nowhere and be a complete disaster.
Yeah, talk about a complete disaster is taking out the Klamath Dams.
Now
they're claiming that it's going to be a success in 2 years. The salmon and the steelhead are coming back. I got an idea they might be a little bit mistaken.
I think it's going to take a lot longer. The silt that is being released when those dams are being is completely blanketing all the way down towards the ocean and getting into the ocean. So I just don't know it's going to recover that fast. But nature is pretty crazy. I mean, when you see the fires and then you go back to a burn scar a couple years later, yeah, you see the trees, but I mean, things are growing again, so who knows what nature will do. Maybe
you
they'll
see
surprise
a brush
us.
Fire. Brush pile, you know, this car fire out here in 3 years, it was a fire hazard again.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Speaking of fire hazard, I did something really cool that I'd never done before, Nick, and you've in the past done stories. A friend of mine, we went out on his patio boat yesterday, and I had never heard of it, but it's called Nature's Water Slide on Lake Shasta. It is really cool. You can link it there by boat. It's out kind of at the Digger Bay end of the lake, so going towards the dam. But you go up this little small finger, and there's a little sandy bar that you can park on, but it's really tight. And then you walk up about, not even a quarter mile, and there's literally a water slide carved into the rocks that you can slide down. It was really amazing. I've been there for 28 years now. I never knew that.
Back in high school, we called it the skinny dipping slides. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, man, it was
the
amazing.
The scenery was real well, too.
Yeah, I bet. But no, it's funny. I've been here for that long, and I never even knew that thing existed. So that was kind of cool. So there you go for folks. If you want something to do, it's out there on Lake Shasta, and pretty impressive. And even a fat guy like myself was able to slide down it with the water pressure.
You know, speaking of skinny dipping, I tried to bring up this clip. This guy up in Oregon, up around Klamath Falls somewhere, had I don't know what you call him, a drag queen pedophile idiot. A guy, naked from the bottom down, go up and talking to his two-year-old daughter. The guy ran him off and called the police. The police came and said the guy wasn't breaking the law.
Yep. That's how...
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Just 8 years ago, I want to say 10, but I'd say 8 years ago, that would have been enough to be indecent exposure in public, you know, arrested in the whole works. Now, it's promoted. No. That's fine. That's totally legal. It's all right to show your personals to little kids. It's completely good. And let's do drag, you know, story hour. And let's do this. They have the liberals are a cancer. They are destroying society. And like I've said to you before, if you don't label it, you can't beat it. And liberalism is a cancer. There is not one politician, one policy, one stance, one thing they believe in that is common sense and makes sense, and is beneficial to humankind. There's not a single one that exists.
But they've got a college degree.
Well, that's the problem. They've been able to give themselves so much money to destroy kids from elementary school all the way through to high school. Then they've got, I think there was a thing that came out after the last election. 98% of college professors donated to Democrats. So that's a very equal balance, I find. And then so they've taken over the school system from the bottom to the top. And so when they get out, they've convinced themselves that they're very smart. They've convinced themselves very smart. They just have no common sense. Or as what my mom used to say, you don't have the sense that God gave a horse.
And what I've noticed is after they struggle through their government job all their life, somebody else telling them what to do, their whole working life, when they get out, they think they have accomplishments and they should be the boss.
Yes.
And they can't make a decision.
No. And that they should have a pension that is far in excess of anything the private sector allows.
You mean Social Security?
Oh, no. No, no. That's what you and I get stuck on. They get their pensions that spiked at the CalPERS that, I mean, you know, you go to transparentcalifornia.com, I believe, and it shows every employee in the state of California and every retiree in the state of California. And we have people who are retirees in the state of California with CalPERS who are making $1 million a year in a pension. They didn't make $1 million when they were working.
Well,
I don't even know how that happens. I don't have a clue how that happens.
Jerry Brown made that happen when he let the public employees unionize.
Oh, yeah.
And gave them bargaining power.
Yeah.
Are we going to a break? Yeah, we're going to a break real quick. I've got a good clip coming right after the break.
See you after.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Room 101, 14th anniversary. Do you enjoy bold, aggressive cigar profiles? Well, this stick is not for the faint of heart or palate. AJ Fernandez has packed a wallop of a smoke. Get ready, folks. This cigar is a knockout. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Redding is a proud sponsor of Redding Colt 45 Baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Redding Colt 45 Baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Redding and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlu's Tap House. Charlu's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlu's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlu's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlu's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Redding is a proud sponsor of Redding Colt 45 Baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Redding Colt 45 Baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Going to pass, it's not going to go, or anything. If you're looking for a place to put it, put the jail. Why don't you put it in Pactor Jones shooting range? Maybe that's what we need, a place to put it. You know, there's your answer for that one, but how dare you? How are we supposed to put these people in prison or, you know, for them to be accountable? You guys all talk full of it. You guys are all full of it. Tim, what happened to you? What happened to you? What happened? You turn around and all of a sudden you were bought by money. You can't even do the right thing. You can smile and grin all you want. You know, it's sad because people watch this and it's sad because you just turned around and did the opposite. You were bought by these three clowns over here. How dare you? The people put you on that seat and you turn around and you just didn't give a rat's ass.
Is this,
what?
This is about our
it
show.
Is. Okay. You're always interrupting me. You're trying to distract me. You know what? I'm focusing on what he also. He's part of you.
R7.
What's your problem? You don't understand what I just said? Gee. So what is it? What, you got something to say to me? Say it to me, Cry. Because I'm so sick of your comments and what, you don't like me? You want to go ahead and discriminate me? Go for it. I'm so sick of it.
R7.
Yes, it is R7. How many times are you going to steal from the people and then tell the sheriff and tell everybody else they can't have what they need to make sure to put these people behind the bars? And yet you go ahead and give everybody a raise, 60%. 60%! Every time you make a deal, you're going to continue. Every time when you make a deal with the union, every time, you're going to get a raise. You're constantly be getting a raise. What about the jail? What happened? The reason you're nice to the sheriff, you playing that game, you know you're getting the votes against the sheriff. You already know that, but you're playing brownie up to the Mike Johnson because you know.
Dwayne Bouvon.
Lots of accusations there. That's one of the recall people, and we see that time and time again up there for the meeting. They take up 45 minutes of each meeting, if not a lot more. They are actually a slug in the sewer pipe of life.
Yep.
One of these days it's going to get cleared out. They're going to Roto-Rooter that sewer pipe of life, and we won't have to put up with that anymore.
Well, you know, it's funny. That's why I said that you should pull up the Canadian apple-eating politician, because he's being interviewed by a liberal, woke media guy, and the guy's like, well, you know, you're just taking a page right out of President Trump. And the guy very calmly eats a bite of an apple, and he goes, what page is that exactly? What number? Well, you know, your policies are going to be a lot like Trump. Well, exactly, what policies? Oh, well, you know, the people that you support. Well, exactly, what people? And he just, excuse me, he just goes back and asks the question right back at the person who's making the accusation. So when this person is making all these accusations against the board, they should stop and go, well, which one are you referring to? Can you give me, that would stop them immediately. If they knew that you were going to ask them if they make an accusation to prove that accusation, they would stop talking because they know they're going to get up there and be able to say whatever they want and they're going to be actually held to task. And until they do that, they won't, this is going to go on forever.
So I got some local clips. Christina, we could go to the second set of clips. This has to do with the infamous letter.
Infamous. Yes.
That Jonesy got, Supervisor Jones,
yeah.
And he didn't share it with the whole community like
yeah.
He wasn't required to. Are we ready for the first clip there? Okay.
All right. We'll bring it back to board discussion, and I'll start because a question was just asked. I'm actually contacted by many people from IGO that say, please don't stop fighting for us. So with that, Supervisor Rickert, this is your item. I'll let you kick it off.
Well, I think I already stated, and I think a lot of the speakers filled in a lot of the blanks as to why I think this is so imperative that we deal with this. I think you talk about transparency all the time. This is the perfect opportunity to live up to those words.
Oh, yeah, I remember I seconded your motion.
Yes, well, yes, and so I just think that we need to get to the bottom of this. I think I personally have a lot of people that have contacted me wanting me to pursue this, and I think that this is important that we basically find out exactly what happened to the letter. And, you know, you talk about trust all the time. How can we as citizens of Shasta County trust our Board of Supervisors when they call for a major investigation, call a special meeting, stir up a whole community over it, and then they bury the result? and they don't disclose it to the public. So that is very deeply concerning to me. So I think transparency is the key word here, and I think we need to move forward with this investigation, and I think it's money well spent, because trust is the key word in all of this. If we don't move forward with investigation, this will just be one more reason not to trust this board.
So we know that trust is real, real important to Mary Rickard. Like when Donnell Ewert got up there and said, San Antonio put all their money into a homeless resources and they didn't have to build a jail. And I called up the jail and it was a blatant lie. And Mary buried it for a year and a half until finally she says, well, he repeated that because a guy from San Antonio told him.
Yeah.
And she didn't want, none of them wanted to address that. I talked to Les Ball 6 weeks after I brought it to the board's attention. And, I turned it over to Larry Leese. Well, did you guys discuss it? No, we didn't even discuss it.
No, that's the liberal playbook. Mary Rickards, you're a liberal. And I would like to know if you're going to be transparent. Let's talk about when you guys in the county locked us down and ruined businesses and families and kids. I want to see the transparency on that. Where was your facts when you guys made those decisions? Let's get real here. If you're going to go and be pissy about a letter that I think was written by a corrupt AG hiding absolute quid pro quo for PG&E and Gav Newsom and the new judge in Shasta County. I think that there was smoke where that fire was at, literally. Let's go back and look at COVID and all the policies you did. Where was that fact? Where were your facts? Where was the science? Let's go back and do that. Let's get you and Modi to start showing where the evidence was that you guys locked us all down. If you want to be transparent.
And, you know, when you deliberately deceive people, you're lying to them. And the same Donnell Ewert hid in the consent agenda the home key.
Yep, Project Home Key.
Bought 6 houses in the community to house homeless in different subdivisions without making any of the residents aware of what's going on. Hid it from the supervisors by hiding it in the consent agenda. And evidently that was fine and dandy with Mary.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And again,
we're building trust there.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the worst word. I hate to use it, but I hate the word transparency anymore because the liberals use it to extreme and the rhinos use it maybe even more. We're trying to be transparent. And it's lost its meaning. It's lost complete fact-based meaning because nothing's transparent. They're hiding. As soon as they say, we want to be transparent, you know there's something being hidden.
That's right. I couldn't agree with you more.
Ooh, you guys all heard that. He agreed with me. That's a
little bit.
Okay, good. I don't want to be like get my ego up.
Let's have the second clip, please.
Correct. Right. Well, I thought you asked for a second. Okay, I just want to make sure we are not retrying the case today. What I'm bringing forward is an investigation as to what happened to the letter so that we can reinstill trust in this board by the public. Because.
Okay, so what's the end game here? We're gonna. She's wanting $30,000 in an outside investigation into this.
Yep.
And how's that gonna reinstill trust?
Well, I think they should go back to the actual case and ask how did the prosecutor not provide the judge with the evidence which would have found PG&E liable.
We trusted him to represent us.
That's
and
it.
Put all the evidence forward.
Yep.
There's your lack of trust, Mary.
That's it. And then, you know, as soon as the finding was done, he retired and became a judge appointed by Gavin Newsom, whose largest contributor is PG&E. That's what let's investigate that. Let's really, because this AG, he's really good on crime. He goes after any conservative he can, but liberals and the policies that are destroying California, that's who wrote this letter. That's the person that she's putting her trust in, is a corrupt liberal AG who's out to destroy our country. And that's who she's putting in for her. Well, that's, you know, this letter means everything. This letter was a partisan hack job to justify what Stephanie did with the money and not hold the DA that was accountable, because that was Kevin's point, was the DA did not present the evidence that would have proven PG&E knew about that tree.
And they have turned it around and tried to say it's all about how the $50 million was dispersed.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. It was about the lack of evidence that was turned over to the judge.
Yep. That's it. And that's how Kevin started the whole thing, was he wanted to find out how did the evidence was, which was documented in writing going back, I think, as far as maybe 16, but for sure 18, that this particular tree was going to be a fall hazard. It ended up falling. It ended up setting the fire. People died. And yet the judge in the case against PG&E said he had to dismiss it because there wasn't enough evidence to show that PG&E knew that that tree was a hazard. The evidence was overwhelming. That's what I want to see transparent. How did that not get presented?
Okay, so up to this point, the supervisors wrote a letter to the AG wanting him to investigate about the lack of evidence. The AG wrote a letter back saying there wasn't enough evidence there for them to investigate it any further. They exonerated the DA. And Mary Rickert wants to know what happened to the letter. Let's play the third clip.
Yeah.
From that because of the Brown Act violation. So accusation was made. I just want to address that.
Supervisor Jones.
Yeah, and so, I mean, if you're just wanting to know what happened to the letter, I received the letter. I destroyed the letter or threw it away. So there's your answer.
All right, so
I don't keep the letters. There is no retention policy with quiet.
Hey, listen.
That's the recall, people.
I know some of you guys smile and like it when it gets out of hand.
The recall,
we're
people.
We're trying to hold a meeting, so if we could just keep.
The recall, people. Oh,
that's a shame. Okay.
All right. So
I'm gonna weigh in really quick.
Chair. So they want an investigation. I just said I received the letter.
Yeah.
I alerted you to it. I did get rid of many letters, including that letter. I've had other letters from the Attorney General that I've gotten rid of. So the investigation is over and complete. You can make it what you want, Supervisor Rickert, now. There you have your investigation. Complete. Letter is gone.
So there you go. But Mary Rickert still wants to hire for $30,000 an outside group to investigate what happened to the letter. You know, if there was a law broken, we've got a district attorney, and tell me she wouldn't be itching to throw some charges against any of well, what is it? The JCK cartel?
Yeah.
That's what they call them, the three supervisors.
Yeah.
Jones, Kellstrom, and
Cry. Yeah.
And so you've got it. You know what happened to the letter. What are we spending $30,000 for? You're supposed to be a fiscal conservative.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, right there. You know, case is I received a letter. I read the letter. I threw the letter away.
And this has been going on forever. It's not like, oh, boy, we're not supposed to throw anything away. We're supposed to save them all, but I'm going to get rid of this one. No, it was just, okay, well, you don't like what we say. You threw it away, and they're not going to pursue it anymore.
Well, and, you know, I brought a correlation up on Carl's show, and Carl, you know, tried to tamp me down a little bit, and that was simply the fact that, you know, when the Hunter Biden laptop came up, it was mentioned, the liberals, the media, they had 53 generals or people in military sign a letter saying it was all Russian and different disinformation, blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the day, that was something that had proof of treason by our president on it. And we were told by liberals that there was nothing to see here. And now that it's proven beyond 100% of the doubt that that is actually, they was all factual. All of that stuff was there on the computer, and the computer does exist. They're like, oh, well, there's nothing to see here. That's okay. But now they're worked up about a letter from a corrupt AG that says there was no malfeasance when it came to presenting evidence against PG&E. It's funny how they have a double standard. One is destroying the country completely, and one's a letter from a corrupt AG saying, oh, I didn't find anything that was worth elevating it up. They have two double standards on what they will accept in their line.
And if I had found something, Gavin Newsom would have fired me.
Well, I just think it was very odd that as soon as that case was over, the prosecutor retired and he got handed a judgeship. So it just seems very weird to me. Little quid pro quo Joe in California.
Oh, well, you know, like I say, one of these days these recall people are going to give it up. They need to give it up. What are they going to do if what's the recourse here? Is Jonesy and Cry going to go to jail? Are they going to hold a new election, a recall election? That's their big complaint, that if this letter had been put out, they would have won the recall. But they're a bunch of liars. If they hadn't lied, there wouldn't have been a recall.
There you go. Every ad they placed was a complete and utter lie. And, yeah, so they're sitting there now saying, well, if we had known the truth, after they lied about everything during all of their ads and all of their promotions, it's a bridge too far for me, to be honest with you. And, you know, here's Nick. I heard this rumor. I don't know if it's true or not, but this is something we might want to keep an eye on, and you're the man of the street. Somebody said to me kind of in passing, and they're not informed, so this is just hearsay rumor that I'm starting, but I think there's a plausibility that with Mr. DeQuisto, who did a great job for the city of Reading, with him stepping down at the end of this month, somebody said to me that they're hearing that Reznor might get reappointed back onto the board.
Oh.
Oh, back onto the city council.
Well, she couldn't be a supervisor, I guess.
No, but I mean the city council to finish out Mike's term. So I thought that was interesting that's rumor out there.
Now,
so I'm saying straight up, it's rumor. I'm rumor mongering, but that has some very conspiratable possibility to it.
Oh, goodness gracious, yes. You've got three up there right now that'll vote for it, Larry, Curly, and Mo.
Yep. So I just thought I'd bring that to your attention so you maybe get your pulse out and start, you know, get your ground sniffing going on and investigate. But somebody said that to me in passing, and I thought it has a lot of validity that they would do that.
Well, that's a thought.
Yeah, so there you go.
I think it's just till the next election.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's finished out his term.
No, his term's three more years.
Oh.
He was just elected.
Oh. Well, then, they said to finish out his term.
Yeah.
Well, that would be 3 years in that case.
Yeah.
So
right.
That
when
that person said that, I didn't realize it was another 3 years. I just figured, okay, end of the year to the election. But if it's 3 years, let that sink in. They could get a 4-1 majority on the city council.
Is there any truth to the rumor that she goes to Bethel?
I have no idea. I don't know.
But you can be assured Julie Winter gave her word that Bethel never enters into any decision she makes for the city. It's a complete different entity.
Well, I don't know what Ms. Winters uses as her reasoning. I just think that the votes tend to favor Bethel a little bit there. And I've said it now with a couple people that asked me questions and my thoughts that if Winters et al. Get their thing along with the Planning Commission, I think the rodeo grounds are in jeopardy. I really do.
Who is that? Who's on there?
It's Kim Moore.
What do you need, Kim? We don't take calls. Make it quick.
Oh. I wanted to ask a question about Jeff Gorder, him being a previous public defender, the Soros bought and paid for public defenders, and his lead of the recall. Is there any correlation between the two?
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. Thank you for bringing that to, you know, out in the public. Is the public DAs in the United States have, in large part, been bought and owned by George Soros and his entities. So Mr. Gorder being in his position, and, you know, he's retired, so the question is how far back does Mr. Soros have his influence is interesting. But that's a good point is, you know, is he stoking the pot on behalf of a Soros-funded thing? I don't know.
Well, is he tight with Kathy Darling Allen? And I see.
Oh, I'm sure he is. I
see Mary
is.
Rickard and Tim, Jeff Gorder. We're not supposed to use names, but
well, they're local politicians. We can do it.
But I see them over in the corner talking, and then they come out with some code that destroying this letter is against the law. It's probably something that was made in 1828. It's never been prosecuted.
No, so I think Kimmer, that you bring a valid point. Is this kind of undercurrent from Soros? At this point in my life, 58 going on 59, I don't put anything past what these people will do or who funds them and what kind of tricks they'll play.
Speaking of Soros, go ahead.
It's a question that a lot of us who attend the board meetings on a regular basis have been asking each other. Because we see people in the recall group who are acting or behaving like operatives and provocateurs, and we're wondering who's paying these people to show up and do this. And then when I saw that Mr. Gorder was a public defender, I believe, until the year 2018, I was bingo. They just had him switch his I'm wondering, did they just have him switch his focus?
Well, you know, it's funny, that question comes up when it calls about these college university protests all supporting Palestine. Well, first off, they all had the same tents. They all said the same thing. When interviewed by anybody, they were like, I don't have media training. You have to talk to the central whatever, whatever. And it turns out that the people who did some research discovered that Soros and the Communist Chinese Party were funding virtually all of those pro-Palestinian events. So here we are locally, and to be honest with you, I think that we are creating enough of a headache in Sacramento that we're probably getting more attention our direction than we normally would because we're becoming such a thorn in their side. So I got to be honest with you. I think you have a valid – is there a bigger pocketbook funding these people to show up all the time and just stoke what they do?
Well, there is a bigger pocketbook. It's called CalPERS. They're all retired government workers. No, it's the truth.
I believe you.
And they all think that Joe Biden is doing a good job.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Kim, thank you for the call, and I think that's a valid point. That why, how come these same people keep showing up? And it's not their civic-minded stuff, because the stuff they spew is just hatred and stupid.
Oh, they found something fun to do. Stir the pot, cause trouble at the supervisor's meeting, give Cry a hard time because he's a successful private businessman, as is Jones, as is Chris Kelstra.
Well, I mean, guys, we're seeing this locally, what they did to Trump. The minute Trump got in, it's immediately undermine and create chaos so that the actual real truth is not being handled. And it's in the book, Rules for Radicals. That book lies out that you constantly just accuse the other side of doing things you are doing. So they're always constantly putting out fires everywhere, left and right center, for things that are not happening, but it takes the attention away from the stuff that they're doing behind the scenes. And so that's a good point. Why, is there a bigger entity that's funding the locals to create chaos in our Board of Supervisors and our City Council?
Let me give them some advice.
Please.
You lost the recall election. Go home and lick your wounds. Quit being like a bunch of third graders in there stirring the pot. Any little boil you can pick at.
Well, I mean, I get it. We have free speech and they're allowed to say what they want. But, I mean, Rickards and Garmin included, my hat's off to you. I don't like your policies. I'm not sure who or how you are as people, but your policies say enough. It's like a liberal, your policies are ruining my life, so that's it. But the bows and arrows that those people take up on the dice is crazy. The personal attacks, the calls and insults. You know, government is there to govern, not to have these people stand up and constantly accuse you of crap that's, number one, patently not true, but just insult you so they get their 3 minutes of, venting. And if they want that, go get a radio show.
You know, I'll bet you most of them at Thanksgiving dinner, they tell them the minute they open their mouth, shut up. You know, there's something else I wanted to bring up.
Please.
Before it's too late, I'm going to bring it up. Did you know there's Russian subs in Cuba?
Oh, yeah. Is that news to you?
Yes.
No, it's not to me. It's like NATO.
How long have they been there?
Not
very long.
No, I can say within probably the last 2 years, they've come back and started messing with Cuba's. And I mean, because, it's the last communist bastion in the Western Hemisphere, except for most of South America. But that's why I finished up the show with Carl, is what's going on in Germany. You mentioned Germany to start the show, is NATO is trying like a son of a gun to poke Putin. They are doing everything they can. They're now,
you're talking NATO. You're talking the United States.
Well, I'm talking the fact that they are trying to get the Putin to attack NATO, and he has no intention of doing that. But, I mean, they are doing everything they can. And so the stuff going on in Europe right now is scary because they are actively promoting trying to get an attack on a NATO country, and it's crazy. It's crazy. So – submarines off the coast of Florida doesn't surprise me one bit.
Well, that's pretty spooky because to me it's Putin saying, "How do you like it? You want to put missiles right on my border? How do you like it?"
Well, I mean, think
about it.
They're
going to be running the Caribbean.
Well, I mean, think about it. If Russia started putting nuclear tip missiles in Tijuana that could hit our cities in 5 to 10 minutes.
They could walk it across the border to San Diego.
Yeah. Well, they can do more damage if they just keep shipping the fentanyl our direction. But, I mean, wouldn't we react a little hostile to that idea? And yet that's exactly what NATO's doing, is we've got that curtain, quote-unquote, now it's the NATO curtain, and we've got missiles that are theoretically aimed at Russia and can get there in minutes. And we weren't supposed to do any of that after the Cold War ended. There was agreements that we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't go after the satellite countries of Russia. That was going to be the buffer zone. And yet we've included all of them except NATO. or except Ukraine into NATO, and the Europeans are doing their damnedest to get us into a massive war with Russia. They're working double time to make that happen.
Oh, they want to get it going before the elections, in my opinion.
That's it. Well, they want to make Joe a wartime, air quotes, wartime president, and they may get their wish. And so Russia having – and the thing is now – I guess,
can you imagine all the new depends? The name of them is I Crap My Pants. They'd have to drag along with old Biden fighting a war.
Well, you know, and the thing is with America, Obama started the absolute stupidity, so liberals listen up. He telegraphed every time we were going to do something in a military situation. He telegraphed it. Well, now Joe and the gang have decided that's such a great playbook. They're now telling Russia that we have authorized Ukraine to send American weapons into Russia. So Vladimir is now saying, well, if you guys are going to do that, maybe I can quid pro quo back. And so, I mean, why would we admit and tell them to do that?
Absolutely.
We know what's happening. I mean, he knows it's happening. We know what's happening. But why would we publicly state, send over American missiles into the heart of Russia?
The yellow light's on. We're entering dangerous territory. Change the subject.
Okay. Danger.